homeward bound. What does it mean to go to heaven? We're going to talk about that this morning. Let's bow our heads for an added word of prayer. Father, once more we thank you for your wonderful, wonderful love and mercies. And as we open the Bible this morning, let the Holy Spirit speak to each heart. Open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds, that Jesus will be uplifted and glorified today. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Homeward bound, take your Bibles. Go with me to the book of Revelation and chapter 8. The book of Revelation and chapter 8. And I want you to see something. It's a verse here in Revelation chapter 8 that is so often misunderstood. A verse that involves every one of us here today. Revelation chapter 8, and look at verse 1. Revelation 8, verse 1. And the Bible says, when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Now, here's one of those verses that's thrown in the book of Revelation, and people misunderstand. What is it talking about? Silence in heaven about the space of half an hour? Let me tell you something, friends. Right now, there's no silence in heaven. There's so much going on up in heaven right now. Jesus, our great high priest, the angels coming back and forth to earth, to heaven. There's so much commotion, so much interest in the salvation of mankind. So there's a lot going on up in heaven. A lot of information, a lot of things are happening. People getting ready. The Bible says that when Jesus went back to heaven, he went to prepare for us a mansion, John 14. So I want to tell you, there's no silence in heaven right now because there's a lot going on. But here the Bible says there's going to be silence about the space of half an hour. Now we're going to understand this in a few minutes. So we're looking at heaven. We're getting ready to go to heaven. But the Bible gives us the verses in the Bible that will take place that lead right up to the second coming of Jesus. And then we'll answer this verse about this silence in heaven. Go with me to Matthew chapter 24. I want to take you right through the Bible real quickly of what's going to take place leading up to heaven and the new earth. In Matthew chapter 24, look at verse 30 and 31. Matthew 24, 30 and 31. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, we all know this has not happened yet, but it's going to. You look at what's happening in the world today, and we've got to admit something is about to happen. I mean, there's war here, war there. It seems like it's breaking out all over. And what's happening in our own country, something unbelievable has taken place. So we're seeing sign after sign that points to one event, and the Bible calls it the blessed hope, the coming of Jesus Christ. But here in Matthew 24, look at the next verse, verse 31. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Jesus is coming back, but notice the wording. He's going to send his angels. Look at Matthew 25, verse 31. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. The Bible says this, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and what's the next word? All the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Now wait a minute. Jesus is coming back. He's going to send his angels. It says, here are all the angels. Revelation 5, verse 11 says, there are 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of angels. That's over 100 million angels. Hebrews 12, 22 says, an innumerable number of angels. You cannot count them all, but don't miss it. Jesus is coming back. And all the angels are coming with him. Silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. In prophetic time, an hour would be equal to about 2 weeks. But half an hour would be equivalent to approximately 7 days. And don't miss this. Jesus is coming in the clouds with all the angels. Heaven is silent because, hey, they've all coming this way to earth for a purpose to gather God's people up. Those that have decided to follow Jesus were gathered up. And 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 and 17 says, the Lord comes, the dead in Christ arise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. About the space of half an hour, there is silence in heaven. That's approximately 7 days. Jesus comes, gathers His people up, and we head toward heaven. Now don't miss this. This is so beautiful. No matter who you are, no matter what your background is, no matter what your theology and your mind thinking is on religion, as long as we've lived up to all that we know and are following the Bible to the best of our knowledge because we follow Jesus, then we're going to go up. But don't miss this. It doesn't matter if you kept Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, but before we get to the kingdom of heaven, everyone will keep the Sabbath. What? Don't miss it. Silence in heaven. The space of half an hour. 7 day journey to the kingdom of God. And there's a purpose behind all of that. Someplace between here and heaven, we stop off and we keep the Sabbath. Isn't that something? Everybody will keep the Sabbath before they get to the kingdom of heaven. But I want to start keeping it now, amen? No, in preparation for what is coming. Look what else the Bible says about the coming of Jesus. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 6 through 9, the Bible tells us of another group of people. Two groups. Jesus comes with all His angels to take His people up, but there's another group. The living wicked and the living, or the... wicked dead. Two more groups. You see, the righteous dead and the righteous living are called up to meet the Lord in the air, but the wicked living are slain by the brightness of His coming, and the wicked dead remain dead, as it says in the Bible, for 1,000 years, Revelation 20, verse 5. But wait a minute. When Jesus comes back, something else happens. The devil is bound. Don't you think it's about time that the binding of the devil? He's bound for 1,000 years, according to Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. But then something else happens. Go with me to Jeremiah in chapter 4 in the Old Testament, and notice what the Bible says here. Jeremiah chapter 4, beginning with verse 23. Notice the wording. Jeremiah 4, verse 23. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void in the heavens, and they had no light. This sounds like the earth, just as God is creating the world the first time. But then it says this, verse 24, I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of who? Of the Lord and by His fierce anger. This is the second coming of Jesus. The earth is laid desolate, and then He says in verse 27, for thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end. The earth is made desolate, but He says, I will not make a full end. When does God make a full end? Revelation chapter 20. Verse 12, verse 15, God says, at the end of 1,000 years, everyone stands before God, the books are open, and if My name is not in the book of life, it says, in the Lamb's book of life, they're cast into the Lamb's, or cast into the lake of fire. In Revelation 21, 1, God says, He makes a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. Do we need a new one? Is there anything wrong with what we've got here? You look out there, it's beautiful out there today. You look at the ocean, see how beautiful it is. But it's dirty, isn't it? It's polluted with sin. There's no way I can even imagine what it would look like if man had never sinned. You know, I mean, it was the perfection. When Adam and Eve were created and God had created this world and the animals and everything was perfect, the animals were tame, and here was Adam and Eve in a perfect state, no sin, they had never seen death, they had never seen a leaf die and turn brown. Everything was perfect. And that's the way it's going to be again, amen? God is going to just clean it up. First time He did it with water, the second time He does it with fire, and He cleans it up, a perfect place for a perfect people who love God with all their hearts. What's it going to be like? Somebody says, as I brought out last night, you know, I was taught that when we got to heaven and on the new earth, the Lord Johnny was going to float on a cloud and play a harp throughout the endless ages of eternity. And I want to tell you, as a little fellow, that didn't sound very exciting to me. Now, I don't mind the harps. I enjoy listening to some of the music we've heard here. The violin, the harps, the piano, the organ, all that's beautiful. And I don't mind that. But if that's all it is, I'm not sure about that. You see, there's going to be more to it. Take your Bibles. I want you to see what it's going to be like. In the book of Revelation, chapter 21, right after God creates a new earth, listen to this. This is far beyond our understanding. Revelation 21, beginning with verse 1. Revelation 21, verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now let me go back to that verse 1, because I know some of you like, since we're here at the beach, some of you like the ocean so much, and it says there'll be no more sea. We've got to make that really clear, okay, real quick. There will be no sea like we have it today. See, today, three-fourths of the earth is covered by water. But there will be bodies of water, because the Bible says the river of life flows from the throne of God, and that body of water has got to go someplace. So there will be bodies of water, for those of you who love the beach, and I do. And so we will have places like that. And there might be some planet way off and who knows where, that's just a big, great, big fat ocean for you, okay? With all kinds of fishes and every clear, crystal clear water that you can go to on vacation. But let's go on, verse 2. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. God's going to live with us, dwell with us. Verse 4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. My friends, that's hard to understand, because we have tears in this old world. There shall be no more death. Can you imagine never dying? I mean, that's something we can't comprehend in this old world. There shall be no more sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Does anyone here ever have any kind of pains? I mean, does anybody ache once in a while? We all do, don't we? And it's because of sin. You know, sin has contaminated everything. And so we get up sometimes and we have those aches and we have those pains, and we might can't walk just right, you know. You know what I'm talking about. But I want to tell you, that's going to change soon. It's about to change. And it's not going to come from a little bottle of medicine either. It's going to come from the Lord. Jesus is coming back, and it's going to be beautiful. Write this verse down. Well, let's read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Listen to this promise. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. There's no way you can imagine, there's no way I can imagine what God is preparing for those that love Him. Now, I've seen some beautiful places in this old world. We had the opportunity one time to go to Niagara Falls, and I held some meetings up there in that area. And you talk about beauty, especially at night when they turn those lights on and that water's coming down over those falls, the beauty, and it's hard to believe that there's stuff more beautiful than that. And then in the Bahamas one time, I had the privilege of going scuba diving and snorkeling in the Bahamas. And I want to tell you something, that crystal clear blue water and the fish and the creatures in the ocean is unbelievable. But God says, I have not seen nor ear heard nor entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Friends, we can't even imagine what it's going to be like. Now the Bible says that we're going to be as angels. It doesn't say we're going to be angels. A lot of people believe that humans die and they become angels. That's not biblical. But we're going to be as angels, which means we're going to have the power of the angels. Do you know what an angel can do? An angel can fly from heaven to this earth in a matter of seconds. That means that I'm going to be able to travel. Do you know that scientists tell us that there are, just from what we know from the telescope and thing, that there are many, many planets out there, and we don't know what's on them. Man claims he's gone to the moon. Man claims he's got shots of Mars and other places. I'm talking about beyond that. It just goes on and on and on. You know what the Bible says about the heavens? God says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Abraham said, look up into the heavens and see the righteousness and the love of God. So there may be. You know, if I can travel like the angels, hey, I may just say, well, Lord, I think I'm going to take me a little trip, and I'm going to go over here to this planet. You know, it's got beautiful white sand and blue beaches and blue water and all of that, and I'm just going to go up there for a couple of weeks. And you say, now, John, that's not going to happen. Wait a minute now. Look at Isaiah, what it says. I want you to see something in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 65. Talk about a beautiful Bible text. Isaiah chapter 65. And look at verse 24. Listen to this. Isaiah 65 verse 24. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. What? There is going to be some kind of communication thing. I mean, man thinks they've got this thing all figured out with these computers. You know who the wealthiest man is in America today? I heard it on the news the other day. Bill Gates. He is the wealthiest man in America. And it all came because of computers. And they think they've got it all figured out because we can talk and communicate with all over the world, you know. But let me tell you something. God's going to give us something when we get to the kingdom of heaven where we may be out on some planet 20 trillion billion miles away from God, and it's just like being right next to Him because of the communication thing. Before I call, He will answer. Whoa. But now wait a minute, we're going to be real people. We're going to do real things. Look at verse 17 of that same chapter, Isaiah 65:17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. What does that mean? That's right. Not going to miss anything. But at the same time, what if one of my loved ones does not make it? Now, that wouldn't be a happy place, would it? But God says, the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. God is in some miraculous way going to blot that little bit from my mind so that I will never think about it. But look at verse 21. Same chapter, Isaiah 65:21 says, they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build another inhabit. They shall not plant another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the works of their hands. What is he saying here? He says we're going to build houses and inhabit them. We're going to plant vineyards and we're going to eat the fruit. We're going to be real people, do real things. Now it's true. In John 14, Jesus said, I've gone away to prepare a place for you. He says He's going to prepare a mansion for us inside the city. Now think about it. I'm going to have a mansion in the city, but in the outskirts of the city, out in the country, I'm going to have a country estate. Now, do we have any builders here this morning? Carpenters, builders, got a hand or so? You don't mind, I want to live next door to you because, man, I'm not much of a builder. One time I tried building a doghouse and had it all. I thought I did pretty good until the first wind came along. And I looked out the window and here's my dog looking up in the sky and the rain coming down on his head and the roof went off in just a little breeze. It was gone. But so I need to live next door to you and you can help me out as I build my place. But we'll build houses and inhabit them. But then he says something else. Look at verse 25, same chapter, Isaiah 65, 25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock. Dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. All the animals are going to be tame. Now you may think this is childish, but you'll see me up on the back of a lion come riding down through the streets of Jerusalem. All right, you know, hey, nothing wrong with that. There are several pets that I want to have when I get to the kingdom of heaven on the new earth. One is a jaguar. That's not a car. Those of you who look like cars, talk about the animal. And the other is a gorilla. I just love gorillas. They're fascinating. And I'm going to have those pets when I get to the kingdom of heaven. All the animals will be tame, will be perfect. Hey, wait a minute, it says something else. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says we're going to know each other. Whoa. We're going to know each other? Yeah, that's what it says. That's what it says. How many here have ever going to a high school reunion after many years, you know, and you see people there that you went to school with, but you recognize them. There may have been 20, 30, maybe 40 years since you had seen some of these people, but you still recognize them. Now, they might be a little fatter and lost all their hair or something, but you still recognize them. That's right. Can't remember the names, but you recognize it because there's something about them you recognize. Now, I'm a believer that when we get to the kingdom of heaven, we're going to put on new bodies, of course. And when I say new bodies, we're going to have perfected bodies, but we'll still have the same features. Now, I've got to grow some, you know. I'm going to grow about probably another 10 inches or 12 or maybe 14 or 15, whatever. But I'm going to grow up, you know. I'm still a kid right now. I'm going to grow up one day. But the Bible says that. We'll grow up as calves of the stall. The Bible says. Little children shall grow up. Look at another verse. Look at Isaiah chapter 11. You're in Isaiah. Look at chapter 11. Boy, it brings out some things here in chapter 11 of Isaiah. Look at verse 6. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 6. It says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. Here it is again. The Bible says all the animals are going to be tame. And by the way, that's the way it was in the beginning. All the animals were tame. They fed together. They ate together. They did not devour upon one another. But oh, something so tragic happened. When man rebelled and sinned against God, it affected all of creation. It affected the trees. Can you imagine when Adam and Eve, remember the story? The Bible says that they were hiding behind the tree after they had sinned and God came and searched for them. And they were hiding. And why were they hiding when God finally came to them and said, where are you? And Adam said, we're naked, we're not clothed. They realized that they didn't have any clothing on. Do you know what happened? The Bible says that God put animal skins on their bodies. Where did God get the animal skins? He had to kill an animal. The first death! Ever. They had never seen it. They had never seen the shedding of blood. But here they had the skins on their bodies that told them something had to die. And then one day later, sometime later, when the season started changing and they saw a leaf fall from a tree. Can you imagine how heartbroken, because they realized that leaf falling from that tree was because of their sins? Tragic. But it's all going to be changed. Back the way it was supposed to be. Everything perfect. The animals perfect. Somebody says, now John, wait a minute. We get up there and after about 1,000 years or 10,000 years, we may get a little bored. You know, doing all these wonderful things that God's preparing for us to do. And but that's not true. Psalm 16, verse 11. Write this one in your notes. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, well, let me read it. Let me read it right from the Bible. It's a beautiful text. Psalm 16, verse 11. It says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Forevermore. Write this one down. Matthew 8, verse 11. It says, we're going to sit down with Abraham and those great men of God, with Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and we're going to talk with them. Can you imagine just talking with people like that, who have gone through so much for us? What a joy that's going to be. And then something else is going to happen. Isaiah 66, you got to see this one. Isaiah 66, verse 22 and 23. Listen to it. Isaiah 66, 22, 23 says, for as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. It shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Every Sabbath we're going to come and worship before the Lord in heaven and on the new earth. Now, don't miss this point. I wonder who's going to have special music. I wonder who's going to have the Sabbath school lesson. I wonder who's going to have the sermon. I know who's probably going to have the sermon, because we're going to sit at the feet of Jesus. Oh, friends. Music? I don't know about every Sabbath, but I know about some of the Sabbaths. Write this one down. Zephaniah. You talk about a powerful Bible text. It's in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. It says that God is going to sing to us. Wait a minute. The God of creation? The God who created some of you who can sing? Gave you that gift? Boy, did I ever tell y'all the story about my attempting to sing? I didn't tell you about it. I got to tell you this. I was a brand new Christian. And I was praying, Lord, you show me. This is what you got to do. You've got to pray. Well, you know, you got to pray, Lord, show me what you want me to do. What kind of gifts have you given to me? And, you know, is it speaking? Is it singing? Is it teaching? Is it writing? Because there's so many, many spiritual gifts. And if you will pray that prayer, Lord, you show me what my gifts are, and be willing to follow His leading, He'll show you. Because some of you may have the gift of singing. Some of you may have the gift of writing, as my wife has that special gift. Some of you may have the gift of teaching or preaching or whatever it is. Pray the prayer, Lord, show me. Young people and older people alike, we need to pray that prayer, Lord, show me, and then go to work for God. Amen? Because God, just like He has a place in heaven for us, He's got a place for us right here on this earth to do something for Him. If we go out into the world to work and to live, and we're leaving God out, friends, we're leaving everything out. But if we'll put God in our lives and go and find what God wants us to do, you talk about peace, happiness, and joy throughout your life, you'll have it, because you know you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. And all those other things will flow and follow, you see. Well, here I was. I was praying, Lord, show me what my gifts are. And I'd seen some of these guys on TV, these evangelists. They get up and they can preach and they can sing. And I thought, well, man, maybe that's my gift. Now, I was going to leave the piano out, because that just, you know, but maybe I could do like some of these singing evangelists and preachers did. So one Sabbath in church, this dear lady came up to me and she said, John, how would you like to lead song service today? I thought, hey, this is it. This is my opportunity. You know, hey, and I remember getting that book and I jumped up there and I couldn't wait because I was just brand new at all this and I had the book in my hand and they told me what the song was and here it was time to go. And I had seen people do this kind of thing. So I was doing it. You know, I didn't know how to do that, but I was doing it. And I was singing and I thought I was doing pretty good. It was only one problem. It was one of those songs, it's on this page, but it continued over on the next page. Now you see, I don't know anything about music, so here I am, I'm on the second stanza, and they're still on the first. And that's the way I led that song service. Well, after it was over, this dear saint came up to me, and she said, John, how would you like to greet people next week? Well, I learned a long time ago that my gift is not the gift of singing, but the gift of preaching and teaching. Amen. So, but we have gifts, different gifts. But the Bible says, and I'll go back to what I was talking about now, the singing part. Zephaniah 3:17, God is going to sing to us. Friends, There's no way you can even come close to imagining what that will sound like. The great Creator God singing to me, singing to you. We're going to be real people. We're going to do real things. We're going to travel the universe. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. But the young and old alike believe they can take a rain check from God on the future, crowd the bargain tables of sin. But many who believe they can sneak in with an 11th hour conversion may die at the 9th hour. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. Not tomorrow, not the next day, but today. And for people to think that they can say, well, I'll become a Christian later on. I'll follow the Lord later. God says, no, today is a day to follow me. That's what He says. Jesus is coming back. How are we going to get ready? Let me take you through it. Matthew 1:21 says this. She shall bring forth a son, talking about Mary. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people, not in their sins, but from their sins. Now, I don't want you to miss this. The first time Jesus came to planet Earth in the flesh, born of a virgin, he came for a purpose. And the purpose was to save his people from their sins. Praise the Lord that Jesus came. Amen. And he died for me and for you. But now wait a minute. That was his first coming. He's coming again. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. I want you to see something. The book of Hebrews chapter 9. And look at verse 28, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, and it says this. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. When did he do it? When he walked among men, when he came the first time, and he went to the cross of Calvary. Hebrews 9, 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him. Now let's look at this verse. Those that look for Him. If you were looking for me to come to your home tomorrow, you would make preparation. At least I'd hope you would. If I invited you to my home tomorrow to have lunch with me, then we would know you're coming. You plan to come. We would make sure that the preparation was made, the food was ready, everything was ready for you. The Bible says, He's coming the next time, the second time, unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time. Now don't miss the verse. without sin unto salvation. Did you hear that? The first time he came for a reason. What was it? To save man from their sins. The second time he comes without sin. Now wait a minute. If he's coming without sin, what happened to the sins? Let's read it. Hebrews 12, verse 29. Hebrews 12, verse 29. A verse that is so short, right to the point, misunderstood, and God says this, "For our God is a consuming fire." What? Our God is a consuming fire. What does that mean? It's kind of scary sounding, isn't it? Our God is a consuming fire. Look at Hebrews 10 for the answer. Hebrews 10, and look at verse 16 and 17. Hebrews 10, 16 and 17. It says this, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and I in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." God is a consuming fire. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, 24 through 26. Listen to this. Hebrews 9, 24 through 26. "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Wait a minute. The first time he came to die, to save us, not in sin, but from sin. The second time he comes without sin unto salvation. Our God is a consuming fire. How is it that the same Christ that we see in the clouds of heaven with all the angels at the second coming, how is it that the power of him coming in the clouds will raise the righteous dead and the righteous living shall be caught up together to meet him in the air, but that same Christ, his brightness consumes the wicked. It transforms one and consumes another. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Christ is coming back for a people that have taken all their sins to God and through the blood of Jesus Christ have confessed and forsaken them and have given it all to God. And he's transformed us even in this life. Amen. Preparing me, preparing you for his coming. That consuming fire will be a transformation to change these mortal bodies and give us immortality. But wait a minute, how can I have this? Did I tell you about my little experience with the microwave? You know, after you hold so many meetings across the country, sometimes you forget the stories you've already told. You know, you just tell some of the repeat stories. Did I tell you about the microwave? I didn't tell you that. Let me tell you what happened to me. My wife left Johnny home alone one time. Some of you saw the movie, Home Alone. Well, I was left home alone, but she told me what to do. She was going to be gone for several days, and she told me exactly how to do it. She said, "Now, John, listen, it's just this simple. I've made the food for you. I've put it in the refrigerator. I covered it up. All you got to do..." See, I'm not a cook either. I can mow the yard and I can do all those kind of things. But when it comes to cooking, she said, all you got to do is take it out of the refrigerator. You walk over here just a few steps. You open up this thing called a microwave and showed me how to press the button to open it up. She said, you put the food in there, you close it gently, and you press the time. And I'm going to even tell you how much time to leave it in the microwave. Simple enough. I thought, well, I can do that. She was gone. It's time to eat. I'm getting hungry. I open up the refrigerator. I take out the plate. I'm sure I got to take that stuff off the top, that plastic. I take that off. I'm sure I need to stir some of this food up a little bit. Take my fork. I stir it. Stick the fork in there. I put it in the microwave. Close the door. Man, this is simple. I press the button. Fire going everywhere. The lights went out. I thought, man, I'd blown the house up. She said it was simple. You see what happened? The microwave attacked that metal spoon. I mean, it was a foreign object. Blew out the breaker. I mean, about blew the house up, I thought. But wait a minute. That fork was a foreign object to the microwave. Sin. Don't miss it. Sin is a foreign object to God. He's a consuming fire. He wants to take my sins and your sins right now. And He wants to wash them all away. And He wants to write His law in my heart, in my mind. And He wants to set us free from sin today. So that when He comes, He can change me. He can take me up to meet Him in the air. Let me ask you something. Have your sins gone on to Calvary? Have you taken them to God in confession? And ask Him to take them all away. Because He promises in His Word, He says, if we'll come to Him, He'll receive us. He knocks on my heart's door. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, will sup with him, and he with me. Jesus wants to transform me into a new creature today in preparation for His second coming when He comes without sin unto salvation. Today, we can put Him first. How many here want to just raise your hand and say, I want to be ready when Jesus comes. I want to be ready. Come, Lord Jesus. And come soon. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your holy word. We thank You that Jesus Christ is on the throne, King of kings, Lord of lords. And even now, Father, we understand that You're preparing for us a place so wonderful, so beautiful, that even the imagination cannot imagine. Lord, I pray You'll come for us soon. Get us out of this world of sin. But before You come, help us to do the work in our lives and in the lives of others, helping people to see that You're a loving God and You want us to be ready. Save us, Father, not in our sins, but from our sins. Because we ask it and we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. God is good. Hey, can we do something? In closing, can we sing that song, Power in the Blood? We only got two stanzas of it. And, that is my favorite song, Power in the Blood. If we could sing that in closing today, and before we do that, let me just say this, how much I have appreciated Rick. You may have not heard my announcement a little bit ago, but appreciated working with Rick for 5 weeks here. It has been a joy. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And I'm going to ask that you people lift up the pastor's hands, stand behind him, Because one of the big problems we find in churches around the world is people are not standing behind their pastor and holding his hands up. Do that for your pastor and his wife. And I want to tell you, this church is going to move forward here on this island in winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you who are coming, I pray you'll continue to study, continue to come and worship and support this little church. This is a beginning church right here. It's just a brand new church getting started. And you people here today can be a hand here to help it move forward by faith in this area.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.